Hey everybody, what's going on?
Yep.
It's Monday.
It's another haunting Monday.
Yeah, that means it's ghostly time.
Yep. Just sent Sophie back on the air. She dropped her off to the airport. She's on the airplane probably by now.
Yeah, she's probably on the plane by now. Yeah, I imagine.
Did a bunch of photos on Instagram accounts. I don't know if there's any of them on 13 o'clock. But you know,
I don't know. She might have like put them on Instagram. Yeah. Like I saw that she posted a bunch of them on Facebook mm-hmm. that we took over the weekend.
Yeah,
because we actually went out Saturday night too, like to a different place, and we had a much better time.
Yeah, I didn't have to beat up the bar.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that on the sidetrack show. Well, like
we
just
kind of talked about it.
I mean, the difference between. The place we go Saturday night, yeah, and like, yeah, because me and Sophie were talking about it, because Sophie was like, oh, this place is much better, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's really special. But we did find out, like, that guy has been banned from Mannequin, so, you know what I mean?
He can go back.
If you guys were, I mean, that seems like the least they could do, obviously, but, because he'd apparently been there before, like, because our friend Dave, who's here sometimes... he went there the next night looking for him, but you know they said he didn't come back. But yeah, they banned him.
And the other guys, he's welcome back. I mean, a bitch slapped him and he left. So
I didn't see that guy. So
he grabbed your ass.
Well, I know that, but it's like that's he was behind.
And that was
him,
the end. In front of his friends too.
And to be honest, all those kind of like frat boy types, they all kind of look alike to me. So yeah. You know, not to be racist or anything, but sorry, I was just saying. So it's like, I'm racist against frat boys. They all look alike. I don't know. I can't tell one from the other. So, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. All right. So, So I've been going back through all the lists of haunting episodes and trying to like fill in all the gaps because I had thought that we had covered pretty much all the episodes like in the first four seasons just over the years. Because remember, we used to do some like a long time ago. But every time I look at the list, I keep, like, finding ones that we haven't done that we forgot about. And this one was actually, like, a pretty okay episode. I think it was kind of...
Yeah, I'd forgotten about it.
You know, coincidentally, it's called The Forgotten.
The Forgotten. What the fuck is that one?
It's The Forgotten episode.
When did we see... let's not worry about that
I
one.
Forgot all about that one.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. But yeah, well, the thing about it was like, but it was a good episode though. And I kind of, we just see so many of them that, you know, I think we've talked about that before. And it's funny because when I was looking at when I was making the thumbnail, like the actor that was on there, I don't think he was the main guy that played the dad or whatever, but I think he was one of the people that played maybe one of the paranormal investigators or whatever. That was the same guy that played the brother on the Summerwind episode. Yeah, because I looked at his face in the picture and I could imagine him like that whole hypnosis scene from Summerwind.
Because I am strong.
Right, that's what I heard it in my head. I was like, that's that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so this is another one that has like some of the same actors in it and stuff like that. Now I will note that this is a case where there is a book about this case. I'm not sure who it was that wrote it. I guess it was like a friend of theirs. And I have seen... It was going back a few years, though, because I went to the Facebook page for the book. The book is called Harvesting Shadows, and it's by somebody named Douglas Burchill. And so it did have, but they haven't posted on the Facebook page for the book since, like, 2017. So I'm assuming, and I saw, like, the lady that was, you know, the mom on this episode, she was, like, on a couple paranormal shows back in the day, like... Hold on, I guess when the book came out.
No, Trey, this shirt is only available direct through us. I make it myself. Mm-hmm. I got shirts in stock. If you want one, just you can pay through a Super Chat or something like that, and I'll send you one. We got another one going out tomorrow. Did you hear that? I got two of them coming. He was supposed to place the order with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
3 XLs.
Yeah, it's a there's two of them.
Yeah,
two. I think they're both going to be the Blade Runner ones, right? Yeah.
The Tyrell Corporation ones.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got to make those and send those out. And if I don't think Victor is here, but your cookbook went out this morning.
No gum.
Like unless you brought it back in, you didn't bring it back in, did you?
No. I have a habit of doing that. I'll stay packaged on the street and I think it's delivery and I'll bring it
in.
Well,
yeah, because I like, you know, because if you have like USPS click and ship, you know, you print out the postage, and then it's like, where are you going to leave it? And then, like, the mail carrier will come and pick it up from your house. And so I leave it on the front porch, and, like, one time he thought it was mail, so he brought it back in.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was supposed to go out earlier today. You fucked it all up. But you know, I didn't say it. Well, maybe I did say that. That sounds like something I would say. But, yeah, Trey said, oh, they're talking about the little badges. He's like, I wish it had stayed green. Yeah, they kind of, I couldn't decide because I thought it was kind of neat that, like, it changed colors, like, every month. You know what I mean? Like, it would, you could change it every month. So I was like, well, I could just leave it green, but I was like, ooh, let's change colors. I think that would be kind of cool, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just make it stay green. It doesn't really matter, I guess. I just liked that it was, like, that it could change colors. All right, so, so like I said, this is from season 3, this one, episode 6. And this one took place in Salt Lake City, Utah. And there is a slight Mormon, because, I mean, it's Salt Lake City, Utah. It's
like, well, I think the ghosts are Mormon.
Yeah, it's Mormon ghosts.
You know, Mormon ghosts, yeah. I mean, Mormons have souls.
Not like redheads.
Yeah, like but, Jesus, they don't have souls.
It's true, we don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm a natural redhead, in case you didn't know. Mm. But yeah, so, I don't know. Like, I don't really know. I didn't, had the book been free, I probably would have at least skimmed through it. Like, because, you know, I have that Kindle Unlimited thing, and, like, sometimes ebooks are free, like you can read them for free without subscription, but this one was not. This one was $7, and so I was kind of like, can't really afford that. And I said, and even if I did pay for it, I wouldn't have had time to read the whole thing. So I'm not really sure if the stuff they came up with on the show, like for who these ghosts were and whatnot, is legit, because it happened such a long time ago that you could pretty much say anything you wanted to. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I mean, it could happen, sure, but.
Yeah, it goes so far back in the past, it's ripe for tomfoolery going on inside.
And chicanery.
And chicanery.
And shenanigans.
Yes. And they do things.
Chicory kinda, pokery.
Yeah. They'll go back and do fucking interpolations into the case, you know. So you never can tell.
Yeah.
But you just got to take it at face value and compare it to other cases that are more credible and see if the patterns kind of match. That's usually what I do. Usually there's... If it's a good case, the order of things and the you can see a pattern of that'll fit a certain kind of known phenomenon, be it haunting or poltergeist or, you know, tomfoolery. If there's a whole bunch of shit in there that fucking is not that really parapsychologists haven't noticed, especially back in the day, back in the '60s, then something it's suspect to me. You know, if there's a mixture of fucking reported phenomenon that tend not to go in the same kind of a fucking case, you know.
Apropos of nothing, I just thought how funny would it be if your wrestler name was Tom Foolery Ross.
Yeah. It's like a porn name.
Like, well, that works too.
Yeah, Tom Foolery.
For some reason I thought of like wrestling name, but yeah.
Yeah.
So Tom Foolery Ross. But yeah, so Salt Lake City, Utah, this one seemed more like, this one didn't really have any poltergeisty kind of things, and also, refreshingly, didn't have any demon shit.
Yeah.
Which is this one of the few that it's like, because even the ones that just have ghosts and even have like kindly ghosts are always like, oh, but then there's a bad one who's like demonic or whatever. This one has a bad ghost, but not a demon. So I thought that was kind of...
I remember thinking that, you're going to go through it again and it'll remind me, but I remember at the time watching it, it kind of made me think that it might have just been what I like to call a bad house.
Yeah.
It sounded like a bad house.
Yeah, Sophie watched it with us, actually. We all watched it last night.
She goes, the special effects are pretty good for... Remember that?
Yeah.
Special effects are pretty good for an old...
For something old?
Something old. It's funny, man. A 31-year-old fucking treating everything like it's old.
Well, it is to them.
Yeah, to them, yeah. And then... She goes, I remember when I was a little kid and I watched these, and I was like, what? I guess so. I remember when I was a little kid and I watched these. They used to be so scary. You watch them now, they're not scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because these, what season 3 was, I think 2008, maybe? Yeah. 2008 or 2009, something like that. Which doesn't seem, I mean, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it kind of is. Yeah. So this story in particular of The Forgotten took place in 2003. Well, kind of like a 3-year span, I think, from like 2003 to 2006. So we're following a couple, and they actually did apparently use their real names because they put their real faces on there, not like the last week when they were in shadow. And their names are April James and Matt Brody, I think they said. So they were kind of like engaged or whatever. And April has two sons, I guess from a previous relationship, named Chris and Brian, who are 13 and 7. I think Brian was maybe the young one. He was the younger one, I think. I don't remember. Matt is a general contractor. And April works, she like manages a nightclub. So she works like a lot of hours. They said she worked like 50, 60 hours and always like at night because it's a nightclub. You know what I mean? But they said that they, you know, even though they didn't see each other much and everything like that, they did actually, for a change, like start having quite a bit of money. And they were like, well, we wanted to buy a bigger house. And she had always wanted an old Victorian house. That was like her dream. So they actually find one in the old section of Salt Lake City. I've never been there, so I'm not entirely sure, you know, what it looks like or whatever. But they're like pretty much one of the first ones they looked at. April was like immediately like, this is the house I want. You know, we need to get it. Now, it was, you know, Victorian, so it was about 100 years old, and it needs massive renovations. So, you know, but the guy's a contractor, so he's like, yeah, you know, if you want it, we'll get it. So they actually leased it with an option to buy. Interestingly, at this point, and they made such a point of it that I wrote it down because I thought it was going to play into the thing later on, but it didn't. But they were like, ooh, it has a tree swing. And I'm like, is some ghost going to be sitting on that later? And I was like, tree swing, this might matter. Like I wrote in the notes, spoiler alert, it doesn't matter. They never bring it up again. I don't know why they made a point of like mentioning it, yeah. But whatever. That's why I wrote it down.
Boy, though. The tree swing. I remember that shit.
Yeah.
It didn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I thought that they were like foreshadowing something. Yeah.
Just meant they saw a little boy swinging in the tree on the swing. That's all.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I don't even think they had that, did they?
Isn't that what they said?
No, they just mentioned that there was a tree swing in the front yard. Okay. I was like, okay.
Because they showed a little boy fucking going there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I must have been looking down. Yeah, I didn't see that.
They showed a little.
Because I'm sitting there going, why are they telling us that the tree? It's like, oh, it also has a dishwasher. No, fucking deal.
They saw a little boy swinging on it and they couldn't figure out where he went.
I thought that was last week's episode. Although, like I said, I'm writing notes at the same time, and I'm trying to, like, glance up and watch everything and, like, write at the same time, so I might have, like, it might have been quick and I missed it. I don't really know. So, basically, what they decided to do, because this house needed so many renovations, Matt is gonna, and his crew, are gonna work on the renovations while the rest of the family is still living in the old house, essentially. So he's like, I started fixing up the third floor, because I figured, you know, I could stay up there, you know, we could live up there if we had to, like, while I was working on the lower floors. So he basically got that done, like, first. Now, while he's in there on the third floor doing the stuff, he's measuring, like, a closet door or something for whatever reason. And the lights in there start flickering. And then he notices in there's like this little, he said it was like a 2-foot by 2-foot opening, like in the back wall. Not an opening, but it had like a little door. It was with a little hatch and stuff like that. And it actually, this was pretty effective because what they did, and I don't know if this is how it really happened or not, but when he first looked into the closet, there was like nothing in there. But then there was like a coat, I think it was a coat, that was like hanging like on this back thing, and it looked almost like a person, but enough not like a person that it was like really creepy and like uncanny. And I think they did a good job of that, like whoever put that coat there. I thought it was like good. It was like creepy looking. And then you saw that it was a coat because he like moved it aside. So he finds this little opening and he's like, ooh, what's this? So he opens it and crawls in there because you couldn't just walk in. You had to crawl in there because it was little. So it was essentially this hidden room, and it had like all these kids' drawings like on the walls, like little paintings and stuff, you know, butterflies and shit like that, like all over the walls. And then he's like, and on the other side of it there was another, though, like a full-size door. Now on the recreation they showed it was like a door like with glass panes, almost like a front door, but I don't know if it was really like that or not. And he's like, and then it looked like there was another door like just past that, you know what I mean,
or a wall,
or yeah, it was like a weird, it was like
nailed shut, it was vague.
Yeah, this door was, like, I think he said it was nailed shut, but there was kind of, like, a... So it was almost, like, a little bitty, like, suite of two little rooms that had been kind of, like, hidden behind this closet, essentially. Yeah.
The way they showed it looked like somebody had made a secret room.
Yeah.
And had concealed a door.
Yeah.
But I can't really picture that, you know what I mean? I think what it really was an air conditioning return. That's the only thing an air conditioning return that you could just pull out of the wall.
I mean, because that does kind of look like that.
Yeah, and maybe
we have one out right out there in the hall.
Like an air conditioning return you could pull out of the wall because maybe it wasn't screwed into place. And then it led into two rooms that had a door that you could access. It didn't say that the other side... Did they actually say the other side of the door was concealed? They showed it as being kind of concealed.
But yeah, I could. It was kind of, like you said, it was kind of vague. Like, he crawls into the thing, and it's like there's clearly a little room in there that looked like a nursery type situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't any furniture or anything, but there was like little kids' paintings on the walls. And then there was like a full size door, but he said it was nailed shut, but it had glass panes. And like when he pried the nails out and like went through it, it looked like there was another room, like another small room, like beyond that. So it was like two rooms behind.
I was getting
like kinda, in a row.
I was getting kind of confused because.
Yeah, me too.
They're leading you to think that this was a two concealed rooms.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite say that. What it may have been is that there was one room where you had a door, all right, like a bedroom, and then you had a door, and you saw it had glass panes. Or
damn.
Well, maybe you couldn't open it.
Right.
Because it had been nailed shut, but there's obviously something behind that door.
Right.
And then if you went around to the other side of the rooms, there was an air conditioning return.
Right.
And you could just pull the grill out.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying.
I
think that's what it was.
That might have been that, yeah.
So, technically, that's not a concealed room. You know that that room's there because there's a door leading to it.
Well, and another thing, too, the way they showed it in the recreation was that the second room had a window, and the window wasn't blocked off, so I'm assuming you'd be able to see, the sun was coming in and shit. So you'd be able to see the window from the outside, so it's like, oh, well, there's obviously a room there.
They mentioned this is a Victorian. I lived in the bad house I lived in fucking over there right outside Boston. It was actually Medford, I think, was the name. It was either Medford or Arlington. I don't remember. I think it was Arlington. We were there for about fucking 5-6 months. That house had a nonsensical layout too, because it made sense at one time, but there had been revisions to the fucking house, and they've knocked walls down and then added walls. But originally, an old Victorian house's layout was just nonsensical. They didn't. You know, you'd had to walk through other people's bedrooms to get to the fucking bathroom. Just shit like that, you know. No hallways. Just connected rooms. So, it may have been a situation like that. It's just a real old house. The room layout made sense at one time in the past. Before indoor plumbing. That kind of shit. You know. It didn't matter if you walked through other people's houses because they were all, other people's rooms because they were all your relatives. And
hey, don't mind me.
Yeah, there was no expectation of privacy. You know, they did all kinds of weird shit back then.
Well, like you said, I think over the years too, you know, a lot of them got turned into like boarding houses or apartments or something like that. So people put in walls, knocked out walls.
Yeah, and
so
it just now became it's a like, jumble.
Right, so now it's kind of like a jumble of stuff. But yeah, so he finds this weird room, and then they do a thing where he's like, huh, look at this, like, weird room or whatever, and then they do, like, they did a couple of, like, cheap jump scares in this one, not gonna lie. Like, suddenly his wife's like, bah! And he's like, god damn it, like, don't do that, you know what I mean? So it was that kind of shit. So Matt's like, you know, we could just tear this wall out here and make this a humongous walk-in closet. And she's like, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that. So then he's in there another day. I'm assuming this is another day. And he's, like, working on the house again. And he has, like, guys that he works with. He has, like, a little crew or whatever. So he has one guy who's in there who's an electrician. And then he, like, sneaks up behind Matt. Because everybody's sneaking up behind Matt today, I guess. So, you know what I mean? He's like, hey, god damn it, don't do that. He's, you know, he's a little jumpy. So, So basically, the crew member, he's the electrician guy, he's going to, like, fix a light fixture or whatever, like electricians do, and it sort of zaps him, I guess. And he goes to Matt, and he's like, you know, it's like, I've been an electrician for 25 years, or however long it was, and he's like, I've never seen any crazy shit like this. It's like, I keep getting electrocuted, and it's bullshit. And then, he didn't really say that. But he's like, yeah, and Matt was on there, like, the real Matt was on there, and he's like, yeah, it's like, we kept getting all these crew members, and it was kind of like a summer wind situation, where it's like, we kept having all these crew members come in, and they didn't say, hey, fuck this place, we're not going to work in here, but they did keep, like, complaining about stuff. Like, weird shit happening in there. They didn't really specify what weird shit. Like, the electrician said, yeah, the electrical was all fucked up. But that's not necessarily paranormal. Yeah, it might just be,
that
like...
That can just happen.
That just happens, bad wiring, especially a house that old.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know. I don't know if the other people were complaining. It's like, oh, my tools are missing, or, like, other weird shit was happening. They didn't really specify. But he did say that there were you know, other crew members working in there that were complaining about how weird the house was. So, so then they go back to the, because remember I said the family was still living at the old house at this point while they were fixing up the new one. Now, this particular, I thought this was, I actually kind of liked this little bit of a misdirect, because they did a thing where Matt wakes up at the old house, like, in the middle of the night, and he hears something, like, out, like, it sounds like somebody's, like, out in the living room. He's like, what the fuck is that? And you're thinking, oh, the ghost, like, moved to, like, the old house. It's, like, it's pre-haunting, you know what I mean? But then April wakes up, too, and she's like, what the fuck's that noise? And then, so he goes out in the living room, and then there's, like, an actual dude. It was an actual dude that, like, broke into their house, so it wasn't a ghost. But I thought, I kind of liked that they sort of, like, set it up like it was a ghost, you know what I mean? Like, before they even went to the haunted house. But it was an actual dude that had broken into their house. Nobody got hurt or anything like that. I guess he was just broken to steal some shit, and when Matt came out the room was like, what the fuck? Like, he ran out. But what that led to was that, basically, even though the new house, you know, the new old house wasn't done yet, like, really only the third floor was mostly done, April didn't feel safe in their old house anymore, because obviously they have a bunch of random motherfuckers, like, wandering in their stealing shit. So they're like, okay, well, let's move into the house, even though it's not done. Like, the third floor is mostly done, we can just live up there while I'm working on the bottom two floors. So that's what they do. So they said weeks went by, but it was kind of difficult. Like I said, April, like, worked really, really long hours, and, you know, they never really saw each other because he was always working on the house and she was always working at night and blah, blah, blah. So then there's a little scene where the littler kid, who is 7, who I think is Brian. I thought Chris was the older teenager. But so the little kid is in the bed. This was actually, like, a pretty good scene too, I thought. And he's in the bed, and he hears his closet door, like, clicking just slightly open. Like, not even open, but it was just kind of like, bloop. You know what I mean? Like the little latch was coming out. And then he kind of looks over and he sort of sees the knob turning. And he has, like, a little flashlight by his bed, like I guess a lot of little kids do. And he, like, shines it over there. And then it kind of goes out. And he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, back. And then he goes, does the light real quick over there, and then the closet door is wide open, and I'm like, ooh, that was, like, I liked that. That was really well. There's nothing, not a monster in there, anything like that, but I just liked that the closet door was just, like, wide open suddenly. I thought that was really good. So he also, apparently he's heard giggling as well, and at least that's what they showed on the show. So because he's 7, he screams bloody murder. And so Matt, the dad, he is going to run in there and help him. But Matt said he couldn't get the door open for a minute, or the door, or his bedroom door closed by itself, and he couldn't get it open, like, for a minute or two. But he finally does kind of wrench it open, and then he gets into the kid's room, and he's like, my God, there's a monster in the closet. And it's like, but of course there's nothing in there. I said, wouldn't it be funny if, like, one time they actually did that? And he's like, there's a monster in the closet. You open it, and there's an actual monster, and they're like, hey. But yeah, they never do that. There was nothing in there. And Matt, at this point, real Matt, he says that the kid, they were starting to worry about him because they're like, he had nightmares all the time. And he's like, I'm not just talking about, oh, he woke up one time, like, at night. He was waking up, like, multiple times a night screaming his head off because he was apparently having these horrible nightmares. So they started, like, worrying about him. And Matt is also starting to suspect that something weird might be going on in the house because, you know, when the kid screamed and he went in there, he said the door, his bedroom door, very clearly, like, closed by itself and, like, wouldn't let him open it for, like, a few minutes. So he's like, huh, okay, maybe there's something weird going on. Now, they said that over the next several weeks after that, Matt hasn't really been getting much good sleep either, because remember, his wife is, like, working at night, so she's not there. And there's still, like, a lot of construction going on. He's like, everyone's just really, really stressed out and tired and everything. And there's one point where he's downstairs, and I guess he kind of, like, thinks he sees a person's shadow, like, on the wall or, like, going up the stairs or something like that. But I guess he thinks he's just tired or seeing things or whatever. Now, there's also a scene where he's kind of, like, he was like, oh, I didn't see that or whatever. And then he, like, unrolls the house plans. And he's going, it's nighttime, so he's kind of going over to the window to, like, look at him. And he puts him up against the window, like, to kind of roll them out. And then he, like, takes it down, and then there's a dude, like, a ghost dude, obviously, like, standing outside, like, of the window, like, looking in at him. So he's like, okay, I guess there's something, is really something weird going on in this fucking house. There's a ghost, like, standing there, like, fucking looking at me. So Matt doesn't tell anybody about this. He's like, look, man, he's like, one, I didn't want to scare the little kids. And two, like, everybody was stressed out enough as it is. And I want to tell him there's some ghosty motherfucker like hanging out outside the window. So that's not cool. And then I wrote here in my notes, I said, they try to do fun family shit, like making birdhouses. Because they showed them all sitting on the porch making birdhouses, just for some reason. And then one night, a bit later, I guess April gets woken up one night, and she hears, I guess it was kind of like ghostly kid voices. They kind of sounded like they were saying, mommy, mommy, or something like that. And she thought it was Brian, like the little kid, like calling for her, but she goes in there to check on him, and he's sound asleep. So she's been hearing some weird shit, too. Now, several nights later, this was also a good scene. This actually had some good scenes in it, I thought, that were, like, pretty creepy. So, April, I guess she fell asleep on the couch, like, in the living room, like, watching TV. And on the TV, she didn't say she saw this. Maybe they were just doing this as, like, foreshadowing or whatever. But I guess, like, the TV was on, and then, like, it goes all staticky. And then, like, a little ghost kid comes on the TV, like, mommy, mommy. And then it goes, like, all staticky again. But, and then she was just like, huh, what was that? And then she, like, she just turns it off and, like, falls asleep. But then her, I guess she dozes off, and then her hair, like, pulls out, like, a little hank of her hair, like, gets pulled out by itself, and someone starts braiding it, like, an invisible person. I thought that was really creepy, because you would shit your pants if you saw that. Because it was just, like, so incongruous.
Yeah, it's not, like, braiding itself.
Yeah, it's not, like, overtly scary, but see, stuff like that is way scarier to me than just, like, looking and being like, ooh, killer clown, or whatever.
And she gets up, and her hair's like that, and she's trying to shake it.
She's like, what the fuck? Like, it was, like, a ghost, like, touching me. Well, the weird thing was that she didn't, she was just laying down there like that, and apparently her hair was up like that. And then Matt wakes up, and he's like, oh, I wonder where she is. She must have fallen asleep downstairs. And he goes downstairs to check on her, and he sees it. Like, he sees her laying on the couch, and her hair is, like, sticking up like that and, like, getting braided by, like, an invisible person. Which, yeah, like I said, that would be super freaky, like, if you saw that in real life. Shit like that is, like, way scarier to me than overtly scary stuff. I don't know why.
They lead you to believe it was a ghost of a little child.
Mm-hmm.
They show a little kid, I think. And then it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he necessarily saw that. I don't think he saw that, but I think they were just showing that, like, for show purposes. Yeah. That it was, like, a little kid that was braiding her hair. Yeah. So, at this point, you know, he tells her, it's like, yeah, an invisible person was braiding your hair, and that's pretty freaky. So, they start kind of comparing notes on what they've seen and heard, because they both seen and heard things. So, this was another good one where the dude actually started to suspect that there was, like, a haunting going on, and he wasn't dismissive or anything like that. I mean, they pretty much both got on the same page pretty quickly, because they had both seen things. So, they are like, okay, so they're like, well, we need to sort this out. And that was another thing, too. They kind of got right on it. I also like that they didn't involve the church at all. They just, because that's another thing that they'll usually do, but they didn't. They were basically like, okay, some paranormal shit is going on. We need to deal with it. So they took the kids to grandma's, which, you know, so they wouldn't be in the way or whatever. That they didn't want them getting scared. And they're like, we are going to, they start doing some research, and they said, well, maybe we can do this stuff ourselves. So, you know, burning sage and telling the ghost to get the fuck out, all that kind of stuff. So Matt said that after doing the whole research into, like, how to sage the house or whatever, which seems like it wouldn't be that all that difficult, frankly. He's like, well, he's going to do it alone, like, while April is at work. So he goes all around the house, like, saging it or whatever. And then he goes into the closet room door thingy, like the one that he opened up, you know what I mean? Like into a closet that was the hidden room before, the forgotten, essentially. And he said as soon as he opened that, they kind of had it like the, you know, the wind machine or whatever, kind of like blowing him and everything. And then like the door closed by itself behind him and everything. So he sages in there. Now he says after they did the sage, everything was cool in the house for 3 days. Like, it felt completely normal, nothing creepy, nothing weird, anything like that. But then, they're like 3 nights after the sage thing, April wakes up in the middle of the night saying, I think Brian's having a nightmare. And Matt's like, Brian is at grandma's house. You know, like, that was Matt's mom. They took the kids there. And then, all of a sudden, ghost boy appears, like, by the side of the bed. There's, like, a ghost boy. Then there's, like, a ghost guy, like, in the closet. It's just a ghost Lollapalooza, like, all up in the shit. And then I think the bed lifted off the floor, too, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it kind of went up a little bit.
Because I think I didn't see that the first time because I was, like, writing stuff down. And I guess it happened really quick. But then, like, you know how sometimes before they go to the commercial break and then they'll kind of, like, re-show, like, little second clips of all the shit that happened up to now? And then they showed, like, the bed coming off the floor. I'm like, wait, did that happen? I guess so. So the bed lifted off the floor. And then one of the ghosts apparently started strangling April, like, because she was like, oh, like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it just shit popped off is what I'm saying. There's, like, you know, ghost child, ghost adult, all kind of people. And again, these people were, like, not fucking around. Matt's like, yeah, we're out. They went to a hotel. You know what I mean? These are probably some of the only smart people that are ever on this show. I mean, I guess they had the money. Because I know it's like, I wouldn't be able to just afford to just drop shit and just go to a hotel. Like, even if there was ghosts and stuff. But
yeah, it's like fucking $100 a night minimum.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
For a decent hotel. If not, you're going to be in there with Dan Bell fucking picking up fucking pubic hairs and fucking syringes and shit.
Crusty underwear, yeah, and dead crusty cockroaches.
Yeah, fucking jizz splatter all over. Fucking with the blue light.
Watch Another Dirty Room, yeah, if you don't know. That's what we're talking about, that YouTube show. But, you know, don't watch it while you're eating. I wouldn't advise it. Because I've done it before, and then I'm like, oh, why did I do this? I always forget. But, yeah, so they go to a hotel, which, like I said, good on them. So they're like, well, now what the fuck do we do? But they had a friend of a friend who I guess recommended a paranormal investigator. And at first they said, well, the paranormal investigator, I know this paranormal investigator, his name's Bill. And I'm like, oh God, this isn't Bill Bean again, is it? Like the coming in with the Jesus-y stuff. But it wasn't. It was a different guy. It was a guy named Bill Spencer. And he runs a place, I don't know if it's still around or not, but it's called Insight Paranormal. So it's Bill and his nephew, Jeremy. They founded it. And apparently, according to, I mean, they were both on the show too, but according to Matt and April, these guys are like super, super scientific. They came with all the stuff and they're trying to, you know, and they're like, we were very skeptical of this because it sounded kind of crazy, but, you know, obviously we're going to go in there and see what we can do. So they're going to spend the night in the house alone because, like I said, Matt and April are staying at a hotel and the kids are at grandma's. So they're going to go in there and set up all the shit and see what they can see. You know what I mean? So they set up all their cameras and EVP shit and all that. So, it's so funny to me, like, these early episodes of Haunting, they always, every single time they say EVP, they always have to say electronic voice phenomenon, and, like, say what it is. It's like, nowadays, and it's everybody knows what EVP is, but they, back then, they had to, like, explain it every time for people that didn't know what it was. So I even put EVP defined. So the Spencers visit, the house, like, several times, and, like, stay over there at night, and, like, keep track of everything, filming things and recording things. They said that they got over 100 EVPs. This was more than they'd ever gotten in any case they'd ever done previous to this. Apparently, these ghosts are real fucking talkative. They determined that they thought that half of the EVPs that they got were residual, as in, you know, just like a recording of something that happened there and like nothing, like it didn't respond to their questions intelligently. But the other half did seem to be responding to their questions intelligently, at least according to them. And like I said, on the show, they never play the real stuff. So I don't really know. They said the most significant one they got was a very, very strong male voice saying, I want you out. They also, after April asked them, oh, did you hear a little boy's voice? Because she's like, I'm pretty sure that I've heard a little boy, you know, around the house. And he's like, oh, funny you should say that, because he played the little EVP and there was like some kids' voices saying stuff like mommy or whatever that was saying. Now, they thought that according to all of the EVPs and shit like that they got, that they thought that there was at least a dozen ghost children in the house. When I was on the Facebook page earlier for the book, which is called Harvesting Shadows, they said that there was 21 ghosts in there. So, I don't know. I don't know how you can tell.
They counted them all.
They counted them.
Yeah, by the voices, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, like, they all had different voices. But they said, yeah, there's at least a dozen spirit kids in here, maybe more.
I'm always suspect the EVP stuff, especially if they don't play it. Uh-huh. Now, Steve Mara said it was reality. He said he's got some good ones. You know, Jenny's worked with him. I've talked to him a lot doing some of his books. And during his investigations, he said that he believed that they were residual. But he also did say sometimes they would interact also, but not extensively. I've heard some of the best ones, and I think it's open to interpretation. You know, that might be just some kind of a noise from outside, and you're like tea leaves, you're reading into it, kind of like backward masking. You know, on records, I used to scare the shit out of me. Back when we used to have to listen to the radio to hear about church people talking about the damn Satan fucking satanic masking, and they'd play the fucking shit backwards, your hair would stand up on it before you really knew what the hell was going on, you know? Fucking Stairway to Heaven and shit. So it might be something like that. You record some stuff, and then it's never at normal volume. They're always really turning the volume up to listen real closely to stuff. Man, you might be able to pick up anything. And you're just kind of interpreting what it said. There's been a few of them on some of these ghost programs that they've actually played. That did sound creepy. The girl who was in Paranormal Witness for the Poltergeist fucking episode about Cat. That was the name of that Poltergeist. I think, wasn't it called Cat? Or was it just called Poltergeist?
I don't remember.
I think it was like episode one or two. She sent me she says, don't release this, but look, this is what the Poltergeist put on my fucking cell phone messages, and it just sounded like a damn kitty, 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 kitty. It sounded like kitty, 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 kitty. And it was writing the word cat everywhere that time. It was creepy. Because listen to her whole story, it kind of matched up, similar to mine. Hers was actually stronger a little bit, but I forgot her name. I used to have her on my friends list. She's on there somewhere. But she didn't want to come to the show, so you don't want to talk about it? She's like, nah, I'm done talking about it.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
But, well,
she's got a kid now, and she's done talking about that shit.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about EVPs, I've heard maybe, like, one or two that I thought, oh, that's pretty creepy. Most of the other ones literally could be anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, especially the ones that they put on, like, the ghost shows that they'll play on there, they're like, listen, it says blah blah blah, and I'm like, yeah, that's not what I heard. Yeah. It's like, in fact, I have no idea what that said. Yeah. It just sounded like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. That could be anything. You're reading,
and then they're like, no, it says this, and I'm like, does it? Yeah. I don't. That doesn't sound like that to me. But I mean, I know I'm kind of deaf, but I'm not that deaf. Okay.
Every now and then they'll show you one that does sound pretty compelling, but man, there's room for error there, man. It's open to interpretation.
Well, and the thing about that, and that's kind of why I'm so skeptical of most haunting stuff, is because there's literally a million things that it could be before you extrapolate forward to, like, oh, the afterlife exists.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a big thing. I mean, that's a big thing you have to prove. I'm just saying that you have to eliminate all of the possible things that it could be, and there are so many possible things that it could be that I just feel like I don't know if you'd ever get to a point where, you know what I'm saying?
Not me. I'm totally convinced that in afterlife, so, you know, I've had near-death experiences, fucking out-of-body experience, spontaneous out-of-body experience before, and there is another realm, you know, where you're out of your body, but you're still conscious, and there are other things in there. There are other things there with you that are also conscious of different levels of sophistication. I've seen Poltergeist. I've been in a bad house before. No, I'm absolutely convinced. Jenny's seen some mild poltergeist activity. But she kind of discounts it for some reason, like it didn't happen. But she is the one that woke up
No, that's not what I said.
Me to fucking go get,
I'm just said poltergeist phenomena is not the same thing as ghost phenomena.
Like, yes, it's not the same.
That's what I mean.
But out of body,
you don't need to posit an afterlife for poltergeist stuff to be, at least according to the parapsychologist's definition of what causes poltergeist activity.
But there's another way you can look at it. That bad house, there was something in it, but nothing ever moved. I couldn't fucking prove anything. And other people, the same thing, they just, a bad feeling. But let's say there is something in a house and it can move some things. It maybe even be able to speak or say some kind of basic communication, just real vague, an apparition or something. That would be a ghost, okay? But that still doesn't mean much about afterlife stuff. That might be an image of the past, okay? Something kind of ingrained in the in that area in the space-time, and you picked it up and you saw something that happened a long time ago. That person, it, that person's soul may not be in that ghost that you saw. That person's soul may be long gone. Dead, maybe. Maybe it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean,
in another realm.
If I'm going to believe in ghosts, I would believe more in that, that it was just kind of like a leftover, like a trace.
Yeah, like a remnant of something.
Of
that
something
alive,
that's
that
not
alive.
Intelligent or
right.
anything.
Right, more like a mirage of the past or so, an echo from the grave. Shit, that, I'm making all goddamn fucking episodes of The Haunted.
There was one called
that. They're all called Echoes from the Grave.
Well, I think there was one called that. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, now they, the parapsychologists, these guys or ghost hunters, we call it a residual haunting. Something just left over. The soul isn't there anymore, but it's kind of like a three-dimensional audio and visual recording of something that happened a long time ago in the era.
Yeah, especially if it was something like really traumatic. Like,
yeah.
Which, like I said, I'm not sure I entirely believe that, but that seems a lot more likely to me than...
Yeah, it's more likely with, you know, with, let's say, quantum physics or something, that, yeah, you saw the apparition, you heard its voice, it said something. Chances are it would be more... Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about like a damn shadowy quantum figure that somehow conforms to physics or quantum physics maybe, and that image was actually there moving around. That would be kind of inefficient. It'd be more efficient if somehow a part of your mind accessed the past and it was so strong you visually saw it. You know, but it wasn't there. If you were to take a photograph, you wouldn't see anything. And maybe if another person was with you, maybe they wouldn't have seen it. Just you saw it. Might have been an image directly into your mind from an,
yeah,
you know,
see,
outside
that kind of shit
time.
Is like more likely. It's weird, but that's more likely to me.
Because it would be more efficient than having to construct a 3D moving ghost fucking image. You know what I mean? And to move fucking air molecules to make a sound. You know what I mean? It's more efficient if it just put that impression in your mind and you experienced it.
Yeah, because the human mind can do all kind of crazy shit. And it experiences stuff that doesn't really happen like all the time. So
it might be more like just a mental effect, a warping of your consciousness. And you saw a part of the past. You got a message from something or something that no longer exists in your space-time. It exists in another place in another time. And it spoke to you from across time. Something like that.
Telling you some shit from
some
a long
shit.
Time
I'm telling
ago.
You some shit, bitch. I'm telling you some shit. I'm gonna talk to you from across the seas of time.
They never really tell you anything all that cool, though.
It's real mundane shit. Get out! You know, that kind of stuff.
And I'm just like, really?
But it might make sense if it's mostly... if it's something that's generated by emotions, maybe it might just be usually real primal and simple.
I guess. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you think if it was like intelligent ghosts, they would like actually tell you like
how to find
the
them.
Secrets of the universe shit like that. Because like, oh, we know those now.
Yeah.
But no, they just say shit like,
get out of here.
Get out of here.
This is my house. That man killed me. That kind of shit.
Zach says, oh, wow, Sophie left already? Yeah.
Yeah, she was only really here for 3 days.
Yeah, she came on Thursday night, right? She came on Thursday night, and left. Tom just dropped her off at the airport like a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going back. Zach says, I'm imagining Tom as one of the scientists at the end of the entity. Freezing the ghost.
Yeah, I'm going to freeze the shit out of
making the ghost popsicle.
Yeah.
I can't believe they did that at the end of that
freeze
movie.
Him. Put a condom on him. He was raping them women, you know? Just put a condom on him before he gets out. Before he thaws.
Maybe they should chop off his little ghost peen.
Yeah, you can't. It's invisible. It's invisible as you chopped it, the blade passes right through. But for some strange
it's a problem.
Reason, Tom says you could put a condom on it.
That's what I was just going to... I was just going to point that out, the inconsistency.
Don't question my fucking imagination. Okay?
Why not?
I don't know.
You question my imagination all the time. I come up with all kind of crazy shit. You're like, that couldn't happen. I'm like, yeah, I know. But yeah. So, yeah, where was I? Okay, so a dozen spirit children, or more, right. Now, so again, like, April and Matt are smart. They're just like, okay, we don't need this fucking nonsense, okay? And it's like, we're gonna move to another house.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't fuck around. But this was actually kind of nice of them, I thought. And you don't really, A lot of families don't really say this, but they said, well, we wanted to get a new house, but they said we didn't want to sell the old one because we didn't just want, because we knew the house was kind of fucked up and we didn't want to like fob the problem off on somebody else. So we wanted to make sure that the house was good, like that all the ghosts were gone and shit like that before we'd actually sell it. So I'm like, well, that's nice of you anyway. So, basically they go to talk to a realtor cause they're like, look, we're looking for another house. And she's like, oh, that Victorian that you loved so much didn't work out. And they're like, yeah, it's a little bit haunted. Like, in fact, so haunted that we can't live in it. And she's like, you know, matter of fact, I know someone who is a real estate broker whose name was Debbie White. And she was, a clairvoyant. And she said that she could clear haunted houses. So they're like, well, maybe she can help you. So like call her up. So they call her up. So the next day, Debbie goes into the house, and I kind of laughed because she, like, it was just like the normal looking actress like playing her, but she had this look of such determination, like on her face as she was walking out the front, so like she's gonna go fucking deal with some ghosts right now, motherfucker. Like she looked like so serious and she's just ready to fucking do it. And I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, but it did. So it's like she goes into the house and does her thing and like feels around or whatever. And then she comes back and tells April and Matt that what the problem is in their house is that there was once a Mormon. See, I told you Mormons were going to come into this shit at some point. There was a Mormon polygamist in there who had a bunch of wives and, consequently, a bunch of kids, and they all lived in this big house. Now, apparently, the renovation on the hidden closet was what caused the ghost to like bust out, like what caused the paranormal outbreak, if you want to call it that.
Found his secret place.
That's like his secret place. Yeah, she's like, oh, the closet is evil and sick and blah blah blah. She said that he was like torturing, molesting, whatever, the kids in that room, and maybe that's why it was closed off. Like I said, I don't know if that's true or not. She could have just pulled that right out of her ass.
They're talking about an era that'd be over 100 years ago.
That's what I mean. There's really kind of no way to check that.
Yeah, and how many people have been living in that house? I bet you fucking dozens and dozens and dozens of families have lived in that house. They haven't been fucking opening that door and going into that so-called secret fucking room. I ain't buying it. That was a story. The psychics tend to make up stories. Oh, well, because you tell me you're having a problem, now I have to figure out where the problem's coming for. You know that weird room that you found? Yeah, it's that. You know, and this is Salt Lake City. It's Mormons. Well, you know what they're doing. You know what they're like. That's what she's doing.
Well, yeah, you're going to go with the most likely scenario. Yeah, because the thing about it is that...
It's bullshit.
Even though a lot of so-called psychics on this show and on other paranormal shows, they will make a point of coming out and saying, oh, I always tell the families, like, not to tell me anything. Like, so yeah. I find that is probably not true. Yeah. I mean, I imagine that when the family, if you, you know, for whatever reason, if you have some kind of paranormal, like, problem in your house and you have to end up calling a paranormal investigator or a psychic or whatever, I'm sure you're going to give them a little background information, like, before you come out there, and they can take that and completely fabricate, like, a whole fucking thing around it.
If you notice in any of these cases, the case goes along kind of normal fucking lines, which is strange occurrences, weird phenomenon. Then a psychic gets involved, and all of a sudden, it's fucking worse now. Now there's fucking demons, you gotta do exorcisms, fucking there's elephants hiding on top of the fucking in the attic. There's just any fucking thing.
There's all kind of murders and prostitution fucking, salacious fucking details.
Bestiality. All kinds of fucking weird shit. As soon as the psychic shows up, you know what I mean?
Was there a bestiality one on the show?
No, there should be. No, I just there should be, though. Definitely should be. Stories of huge Dobermans and shit. Big uncircumcised Dobermans. Fucking, you know.
Good dog.
Dudes attacking the women with them and just shit like that. Hell yeah. Ride that red rocket, bitch. Just shit like that. Ew. But it's always the goth fetish scene, you know. We're aware of this.
We were talking about that on the way back from the club. Not about Red Rocket specifically, but we were talking
about it. Hit it with the Red Rocket final. But, you know, I'm just really skeptical of psychics. Because, you know, I always notice the pattern is as soon as the psychic shows up, all hell breaks loose. You know? Yeah. When it was really just kind of like a mild disturbances that were disturbing people, you know.
Well, sometimes sometimes I think people just want to get validated that they're not crazy. It's like, there is weird shit going on here. But a psychic does, and I'm not saying that all of them are necessarily doing it cynically or anything. Like, I think a lot of them do actually believe that they're sensitive or whatever. But I do kind of feel like what they're doing is they're coming in and they're taking the kind of crumbs of narrative that the family is giving them, and then they're just kind of like weaving it into a story.
Into a story.
And which I think a lot of times maybe like the people want that, because it's like, oh, well, this is it. It kind of like puts it in a box and like gives it an explanation that they can get a handle on.
Right.
Other than it just being a bunch of random paranormal activity that doesn't mean anything.
Because that's the way Mammoth Mountain was. Me, Lois, Red, fucking. We didn't know what we didn't know what it meant. Not until the very end, I started to suspect, but there was no narrative to it.
Right.
Which kind of makes it weirder. You know, like, why is this?
Yeah, happening? Because it had what no reason mean? For doing anything that it did.
Why did it stack those fucking books?
Yeah,
why
it didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Why did it make that smiley face out of fucking hand towels? Why did it do this? Why did it do it? It's just doing shit. You know, it doesn't know why it's doing it. It's just the subconscious mind doing it. Fucking using psychokinesis. Fucking with you. And it's evading all fucking, you're trying to figure it out and it's foiling your investigation, you know, it just, it doesn't want you to know what it is.
That's why I'm kind of more likely to believe, like, the episodes that are just, like, random shit.
Yeah.
And nobody comes in later and says, and then comes up with this, like, elaborate narrative about
it. Something right out of Hollywood. Impressive crimes. Something that should have been known about in the local area. Yeah, this person kept abducting all the schoolgirls from the local Catholic school and pimping them out to the priests and... Everybody was involved, and even the mayor knew, you know, what year is this? You know, 1820.
It's like they had newspapers then. You'd think somebody would have found that out.
She would have been well known, you know. I'm not saying it's a fake case. Chances are, though, it was just random, strange phenomena, and that they never really knew what it was. And you had a psychic come in and try to make an explanation.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought they were telling the truth, but... Man, the pattern.
I think sometimes they do. I'm not willing to go just across the board and say, oh, they're all just like scam artists on purpose. I'm going to say that. I do think they're scam artists, but I don't think a lot of them actually think that they're scam artists.
If you ever have any shit like this going on in your house, I do not recommend bringing psychics in there. No.
That's just going to fuck up the whole. That's just going to muddy the water.
I would not even bring any priests. They're not ready.
See, that's why I liked this episode, because they did not even, it didn't even come up.
Right.
The first thing they did was like, well, we'll sage the house ourselves. And it's like, that worked for a couple days. But then they're like, okay, well, we need a paranormal investigator. Yeah. And they just went straight to that.
Now, a parapsychologist, maybe.
See, I would rather that. I mean, you know.
Don't get anybody from one of those fucking Grateful Dead drum circles or any of them other motherfuckers. No. Maybe somebody, if you're Central American or South American, maybe somebody that knows about Santeria or Candomblé, Macumba, Brazil. They're familiar with fucking ghosts and spirits. That's part of their religion. And they may be able to appease it with offerings. Kind of like a Taoist priest might in that one episode of fucking...
Yeah, the one with the tarantulas. Yeah,
right.
And the woman that didn't like this place.
Now, it may appease these so-called spirits, not because the spirits were appeased. They might appease the spirits because it settles your mind and you feel better about the situation, so you're able to cope with it better. And you're not feeding this with some kind of psychic energy to keep the ball rolling. You're relaxed, so it kind of dissipates.
Yeah.
That's probably why
I think that's the much more likely explanation. That's why exorcisms sometimes do appear to work. I don't think demons are real.
Yeah.
I just think that if you really believe in them and you have somebody in there that supposedly has the authority to exorcise the demon, then if you really believe in it, then it'll work.
It might work.
That doesn't mean demons are real.
Right.
That means that the human mind is a very strange and powerful force.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can convince yourself of pretty much anything.
Oh, I can guarantee you, with what I've seen, especially starting with Poltergeist, faith has a lot to do with things. I was a man. I was a boy of faith. I was religious. I believed in things like ghosts. said, and I believed in things like psychic abilities, and that allows it to happen. I knew back then. I believed back then because I was told it was real, you know, and I was seeing it on in movies that I believed, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, that happens. You can make it happen. Yeah.
But like you said, that's kind of like I said, that's more of like a human mind thing.
Yeah, like it's basically the force, what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the yin and yang abilities, you know, fucking going all the way back to Buddhism and, you know, Taoism to a certain extent, too. So, yeah. The power of faith and the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you if you really fucking believe something, I mean...
It could help a lot.
Some crazy shit could happen.
Yeah.
You know. But,
Within limits.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying you can do anything. Right. You can't, like, fucking fly off a cliff or anything like that. Because that's not... Because humans, that doesn't work.
No, it's going to be more things like dreaming true. Or maybe being able to affect the throw or the roll of a dice. Or,
Yeah, nothing having major.
Feelings, right, having moving an object. An object just appears out of nowhere that you were thinking of. That kind of stuff. But you didn't actually see it move. It's just there now. You look away from something that you were looking at and it falls. It's going to be things like that.
Zach said, oh, I remember this episode. It's the one where all the shit is flying around at the end and everyone's screaming. Yeah, it's funny because this episode is, like, pretty good and, like, pretty low-key up until the end, and then the end goes way over the top. Which it was very much like the end of Poltergeist, and I just thought it was really funny. So we were watching it last night, and I was, like, doing a fucking Tangina impression from Poltergeist, because that's what it reminded me of. I'll get into that in a second. But yeah, so the psychic basically says, yeah, there's a Mormon polygamist in here, and they did make sure, like, one of them to point out, it's like, oh, well, didn't the Mormons, like, ban polygamy or something? I'm like, well, not all of them. But you know what I mean? Because that's what... We did a whole show about that.
Warren Jeffs and all those guys...
Went off into, like, factions and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of them still wanted to do that.
The mainstream church doesn't do that.
But yeah, that's still not... Yeah, they say they don't. I don't know.
They got people that aren't in that church doing that.
That's true.
Whole boob harems and shit.
Boob harems?
Yeah.
Tom wants a boob harem.
Got a boob harem. You never can tell what could happen.
Tom Keys, he's hoping boob harem, boob harem, boob harem. He has faith. He's gonna manifest. He's gonna manifest it. A whole boob harem. Like all these big titted women are suddenly gonna like appear behind us one of these days.
She's sick of all this shit. Man. She's all our work for her to do, man. Man, fucking stop this shit.
We're so silly.
Boob harem was fucking. That was Zach's idea. That was Zach's terminology. I've adopted that. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Zach. A gay man thought that up. That's creative.
Gay men think of the best stuff.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. You should be straight, man. You should be fucking straight, man.
Zach says, you're welcome.
Yeah. You should be straight coming up with some shit like that, Zach.
Kenak says, feels good to finally catch alive again. Long live Jenny and Tom.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed from your lips to God's ears, if I believe in God, which I don't. Blackfrock said, is this an old one? This episode, yeah, it's season 3. Like I said, we're trying to do all the old ones, and then we'll get into the silly, like, newer ones. Newer, you know what I mean. So, yeah. Molesty Mormons, right. So she says, okay, I can cleanse this house. Oh, I can do that shit. So she does it in February 2006. So as I said, the time period here is like very constrained because I think they first bought the house in 2003. So I guess they lived there off and on for like 3 years. But so the psychic comes in. I don't think they're living in the house at this point, the family. I think they had bought another place, but they hadn't sold the old one yet. So she's going to go in there and cleanse it. And Bill and Jeremy, the guys from Insight Paranormal, they go in there and like record the whole thing. Of course, they didn't show any of it on this particular show. I don't know if you can see it somewhere else. One thing they did, I don't think I've seen them do this on another show, was kind of like she had like salt water like in a spray bottle and was like spraying that all over the place. And I was like, oh, like kind of like ghost Febreze or some shit like that. She was like spraying it all over. Because I was like, oh, is that the smell of sanctity? Oh no, it's just salt water. Oh well. Oh, I wonder if you could just, like, put salt water in spray jars and, like, market it, like, at a substantial markup, like, for ghost purposes.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, because you know how they do, you know that bullshit thing. What is that thing called? But that just basically goes through radio channels randomly, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, ghosts are talking to me." I'm like, "No, that's just a radio station."
It's just scan. It's a,
words
it's
like
a scanner.
Popping out every now and then, and you're just reading into it, like it's you know pareidolia or whatever you call it. I said that's what that is.
It's just a radio scanner.
That's all it is. But I don't even know how much they charge for those. But I'm like, yeah, they can sell those to paranormal investors.
$100.
I imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that was a good scam. I wish I thought of that. But well, maybe I can do the saltwater bottle thing. I'll just put saltwater in there and just call it like fucking Ghost Be Gone or some shit. But yeah, so she basically says to Matt, well, the closet is the worst place, obviously, that you opened up. And because you fucked up the ghost's hiding place, he's mad at you and has been, like, fucking with everything. So he's like, maybe put some of the old boards, like, because I guess he still had some of the old pieces and old boards and stuff, like, down in the basement. And he's like, kind of put those back the way they were, so, like, maybe the ghost won't be so mad at you. And then they did this thing where they had all these candles and whatnot, and then they went down the basement to get some of the old boards. And Debbie, like, starts talking to, you know, the ghost kids, like, the imaginary kids or whatever. And then they do this funny scene where there's all this, like ghostly giggling and whatever. And then she walks into this dark crawl space type thing, like, underneath the stairs. And she crawls under there, and then they do a thing where everybody's, like, goes really quiet, and they're all just like, Debbie, are you okay? I'm like, she's fucking fine. It's like, they're just doing that for the show. Knock it off. It's like, yeah, she just walked in there and went into another dimension. She's just right there. So, yeah. So, because I put, Debbie disappears. Not really, though. So she comes out, and then all she says is, all is as it should be. She's all very, like, wise and everything. And then she says they all had candles, and they basically did a little ghost parade where they led all the ghost kids, allegedly, up to from the basement. I don't know what the basement had to do with anything, but because they didn't mention that. But they were down in the basement, it looked like. But so they lead all the ghost kids up to the closet room. And I guess that was where, just like in Poltergeist, the closet, that was where the way station between the dimensions, I'm assuming. So they have to take the kids up there and then kind of like dissipate the energy. So all the ghost kids are falling. Now, this was the funniest part, and I think this is the part that Zach was talking about. Up to this point, this has been a fairly low-key episode, right? I mean, it had some jump scares and it had some apparitions and stuff. But it was like pretty low-key. But at this point, they go up there and they get like the door to the closet room, and the psychic opens it and it full on goes, you know, the scene in Poltergeist where they open the closet and it's like, whoosh, and like all the light and like the wind machine and everybody's hair is blowing and everybody has to yell at each other, come on, we're going in. It's just like that. And then this is the best part. And then the psychic, she couldn't shoot. Like the wind was like that. She's like, whoosh, and then she had to crawl into the fucking, like, she had to crawl before she gave a walk in there. And I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking hilarious. But yeah, so they made a huge, huge deal. And I was like, they bought a wind machine and they're going to use the shit, basically. So it's just like this bright light in the wind machine.
It had good special effects, though, Dan.
It was like, I know. But that part was funny. That part was funny.
They had little balls of light that fucking went up in the air. It's pretty good. And they left on the, went into the fucking moon beams. Remember that? And disappeared off into the clouds?
Yeah, it's like, little,
yeah,
all the little molested
little
kids.
The children flew away.
Went Yay, to, we're yeah, going yeah. to heaven now. Where we will no longer be molested.
Yeah, right.
Unless the Mormon dad went with him and he's like,
yeah, you're right.
I'm going to follow
the
you.
The poor Mormons.
I know, right? We pick it on the Mormons. We pick on everybody. We pick on
I've known lots of Mormons. Mormons are good people. They're good people.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just the whole thing was just very dramatic, and it just like made me laugh. Because, and it reminded me very much of, I kept like saying lines from Poltergeist the whole time, because that's you could tell that's where they got the inspiration from. So they all go into the closet room, they all battle the wind and everything with the candles and you know and all that, and then Matt takes the I guess it was like a board or something like that from the old closet that he still had. And he takes it and he's like, whoosh, and like breaks the window with it. And I'm like, now you gotta fix that. I mean, you know. And then the evil ghost is there. And this is what we were talking about. This actually was pretty decent special effects for 2006, 2007, whenever this was. because the evil ghost is like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And his face fucking
and his face like cracks apart. Like it's all like light up. In his yeah. mouth and his eyes and everything, yeah. and then it starts kind of like disintegrating. And I'm yeah. like, oh, that was pretty rad.
Yeah.
And I think even Sophie said, oh, that was pretty good special yeah, effects yeah, for how old this is.
Yeah, yeah. For how ancient this is.
It's like, oh my god, yeah. this is like before.
Like thanks, bitch.
When dinosaurs still yeah, walked yeah, the yeah. earth.
She's gonna be listening to this episode. I know. Like, you motherfuckers.
Because she watched it yeah. with us. Because yeah. she's like, oh, I want to. Because she hadn't seen them in such a long time. And she's like, I want to watch it with you guys, so yeah. like I can know what you're talking
That's
about.
That's fucking funny.
But yeah, so she watched this. watched it with us last night. But yeah, so we never forget like how old we are like around her. She doesn't. I don't know. She doesn't make a huge thing about it, but sometimes she does like mention some ghosts.
We took
stuff.
Her to the club, and I showed her some of the people that fucking we know, and told her how old she was. She was fucking amazed. She was amazed though, how good some of these old people look nowadays. She was talking to Will, and fucking Will's all he's an ex military black dude, he's a friend of mine. And he's all gothed out and shit. And I go, how old do you think he is? And she goes, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 60. And
yeah,
she's
he's
like,
60.
No shit.
Nobody believes these. He doesn't look 60.
No, he doesn't look 60. He looks about 50.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's on test too.
He looks. Like, I mean, he looks like a yeah. really, really well yeah. preserved.
Yeah. He married a white chick on active duty. She's a military army doctor. I think she's a major. Yeah. And he was enlisted. He was a spec 4 like me. So it's like a corporal's marrying fucking... Did they get married or did they just shack up? I think they're married, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think they did.
Okay. I don't know if they ever did. I thought okay. they were engaged.
Engaged, that's what it was.
But I'm not sure yeah. that they ever, like,
yeah.
did the deed. You yeah. know what I'm saying? I don't remember them doing that.
Yeah, they did go.
You know who else, you know who just got engaged? Andy.
Who?
Andy.
Which Andy?
You know Andy.
Andy.
Will's
oh,
Andy.
Will,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, Will's ex. Yeah. That Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy.
Even though that was like a long time ago.
Right, yeah.
yeah. Bennett.
Andy Bennett, yeah.
Whoops, we just said her whole name. Yeah. But yeah.
she's I think, a few years older than me.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend is maybe 30-something.
Yeah, he's a lot younger.
Yeah.
But they just
she's cute.
I saw it on she's cute. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, she's, isn't that funny? I'm going to say this shit. You're going to forget. She's a cute old lady. Yeah. We don't really imagine our friends as being old. They're just fucking goth people that we've known for fucking almost 15 years in some cases.
Well, yeah. But, well, I mean, we were talking about this with Sophie, too, because yeah. it's like, it doesn't really occur to us that it's like, oh, that's just so-and-so. Like, yeah. it doesn't occur to us that they're, like, fucking 60
yeah.
years old.
yeah. Well, some of them don't look it.
Some of them don't look like it. And they're still out clubbing and dancing yeah. and stuff, so it's like, I don't really worry about it.
There's a girl we know who's just killer dancer, dresser, fantastic fucking figure, not an ounce of fat on her. Who can pull guys in their fucking late 20s and early 30s, and she's late 40s. You wouldn't know by looking at her, though.
Yeah.
And then there was this one chick. She's a little Cuban-American chick from here, and she's maybe like 5 feet tall. Haven't seen her in about 3 or 4 years. She's way older than me. She's pushing 60. She looks great, though.
We saw her on Saturday night.
We
hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
And then we saw her, and she looks exactly the same.
Yeah, so she's happy to see us. And I said, how you been? You know, this and that. And I says, where's all your little boys? Because she would show up with these young dudes. young. She's like 50. And it wouldn't. You don't know it by looking at them. They look punk rock outfits and goth outfits. And she's a little Cuban-American goth chick. And just show up with these guys that are like in their late 20s and early 30s. And I says, where's your little boys? And he goes, I married one. And he's like, what? I said, how old is he? He's 35. Whoa. Yes, I've been married 2 years. And I was like, no shit, you fucking cougar. And he's just like, well, of course. She's bad. The girl's bad.
She's yeah. awesome. I like her.
She probably weighs about 90 pounds.
That's what we'll talk about yeah. that on the Sidetrack show Saturday.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
went, we hadn't been to Barbarella on a Saturday night in a while. And it's like, I forgot how fun it was. I mean,
yeah.
we saw almost
yeah.
everybody. I saw yeah. people I hadn't seen in like
but
ages.
But she's probably pushing 60.
She's got to be at this point.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, I don't know, but she,
yeah.
you can't tell. So
no,
I don't,
you can't
I don't
tell. If you see her from 20 feet in a club in that outfit, you think you're seeing looking at a person. It looked like you're looking at a girl about 30, 35 maybe. You would never, ever think pushing 60. Never.
Yeah. But yeah, so what happens? So the evil ghost disintegrates. Well, no! I was like, yeah, super funny. Zach says, Jenny, you need help, sister. I was 9 when this episode came out. Well, it doesn't seem... I mean, in a lot of ways, it's weird. Like, maybe you'll know, like, when you start getting as old as we are, but... It's like, it seems like a long time ago, like whenever the fuck this came out, 2008 or whenever it was. That definitely does seem like a long time ago, like when I think about it. But then on the other hand, it kind of doesn't.
That's you about know? The time me and Jen met each other.
We met in 2009 or 2010.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That seems like yesterday.
It seems like yesterday, but it also seems like a million years ago.
Just depends on Is how that you look weird? At. Well,
it seems like both at the same time.
As soon as you pass 35. A year just fucking goes by.
Everything starts speeding up.
Speeds up real fast.
And then you'll be like, oh, remember the other day when you did this and that? That was 7 years ago.
I hit 38, man, and I thought it was the end of the fucking world. Dude, I'm almost 40. You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, I was fucking 43, and I felt about the same. I was like, looking in the mirror, look about the... About,
it doesn't really change yeah, all about that the same, much, yeah. to be honest.
Yeah.
I've heard that from a lot of people as they get older. They're like, I still feel like a young person. Like, you did because you still think like you used to. You don't change significantly.
It doesn't hit men till late 40s with that fucking androgenopause. Fucking, but just go on test, and you'll just continue to go. I recommend it. I'm a men's rights activist. And I tell you, motherfuckers, do what you lose your testosterone, just inject it. Fucking all your shit will come back. You get your now, if you've been neglecting it for a long time and you're fucking 40, 50 pounds overweight, it's going to take a long time, a couple years, but it'll come. Your body will respond to training. You'll feel a lot better.
Zach said, didn't the psychic lady in this one have old person jowls and a really ugly hairdo?
I don't remember what she
was. Not that
like.
I remember. She was just kind of like a skinny, like, you know, older lady. I don't remember her like being fat or jowly or anything particularly. It wasn't anything that stood out. So the evil ghost disintegrates. All the little molested ghost children go pew and like, you know, disintegrate into the air or whatever. And then the stuff that they used in the ceremony, so I'm assuming like the old pieces of the house and the candles and stuff, I think, they buried those on the property. So the evil ghost can't come back, because apparently that's how that works. Never really heard that before, but okay. And apparently no more activity was reported thenceforth. Matt finished fixing the house up, and because no more activity was there, they felt safe selling it. But they did not move back in there, which like I thought that was kind of interesting, because usually... Well, like I said, a lot of the families are kind of like, well, we couldn't move because all of our money was tied up in it. Which, like I said, you know, it's not easy to just kind of move. But this family, they seem to at least have, they didn't seem rich, but at least they had the resources to be like, hey, we want another house. We don't want to live in this shit, and we can go stay in a hotel and stuff. Because they did not fuck around, you know. Yeah. They're basically like, we're going to deal with this shit, and then we're getting the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? They didn't they didn't dick around with it, which I thought was kind of interesting. So they did buy another house, and as I mentioned, if you would care to read it, it's not free on Kindle Unlimited, unfortunately. I think it's $6.99, and obviously there's also a print version. I think it came out in 2016 or 2017, and it's called Harvesting Shadows by Douglas Burchill. Now, I think, just based on the blurb, that I think it's a novel... But it's based on this story, like a true story. I think. I'm not entirely sure if that's the case. That was the impression I got, like, just from reading about it, that it was like a novelization. So, take of that what you will. You know, just take it with a spray bottle full of salt that I'm going to start selling as Ghost Beyond pretty soon.
it was a good
paranormal
it's
investigators.
It's a pretty good old episode, though.
Yeah, and this is another one that it didn't stand out in the run, but when I went back and watched it, because when I was reading the episode list on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, I kind of don't remember that one, and we haven't covered that one, so let's do that one. And I was watching, and I was like, well, this is a decent episode, too. All these, like, first... We've talked about a couple that were sort of meh.
Yeah.
But even the most meh... you know, first four season episodes are, like, better than some of the later ones. And it's not so much the later ones, I don't think it was so much them being boring, is that a lot of them were just, like, too stupid. Were, like, just, yeah. like, too outlandish.
Yeah.
And they were just too much, they were trying to be too much like a horror movie. Yeah. Like, they were too much, had narratives and too many jump scares.
Dudes fighting mummies and shit.
Yeah, it was, like, dudes fighting mummies and werewolves and all this. I don't, you know, it was, like, all that kind of, like, witchcraft and all this. Yeah. Like, it was just, they got crazy. And I get that they were running out of stories, and they're like, look, you know, they're still paying us to make this show, so we need, like, something on here. So might as well just be... And I think most people are watching these just like you would watch a horror movie, so they're not really worried about how...
We're watching them ironically.
Right, so they're not really worried about it. It's like, oh, this is, like, super... Because I think if you made a show that's... was very, like, scientifically rigorous, like, about it, like, nobody would watch it, because it'd be, like, boring, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what it is. All right, so... that was the end of that episode. Like I said, it's season 3, episode 6. If you would like to watch it, even though I just spoiled it, please tell me what you thought of, like, the end where they opened the door and, like, the wind and she had to crawl in the closet and stuff like that, because that just, like, really made me laugh. But, I was just laughing my ass off. But I think, well, since we didn't do a movie review on Sunday, I think we should probably do one tomorrow.
So we just gotta watch a movie tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I said, all I have to do is, like, run and take a shower, and
you
then I'm just gonna
do Black Hawk Down.
We can either do Black Hawk Down, because Victor sent us that. We'll check how long it is. If it's really long, then we'll have to pick something else. Okay. But I think the movie, because a couple of y'all have talked about Megan, that new horror movie. Yeah. I think it's streaming for free on Peacock amount of time.
Let's watch that first, because I'm not totally awake and I might fall asleep during some shit.
And I have been wanting to see that, and a couple of y'all have, like, recommended it, and I was just like, so...
I'd rather see Megan, because I don't have...
I mean, hopefully we can watch. If we can't watch it, then I'll pick something else that's, like, kind of short. But, you know, I'll check Shudder or something like that.
All right.
But that was what I was planning on, because I think it's available on Peacock for, like, a limited time, like, for free. All
right.
So... we can watch that tonight, and then we can talk about that tomorrow. And then on Wednesday night is our main show, and we're going to do... I've been wanting to do a show about this in a long time. We're going to do the mysterious disappearance of Louis LaPrince. If you don't know who that is, he's actually the real motherfucker that invented the movie camera. No, it was not Thomas Edison. And this guy mysteriously disappeared, and maybe Thomas Edison was involved. So... But it's a really, like, interesting story. So that's what we're going to do the show about Wednesday night. So hopefully you guys can join us tomorrow and Wednesday night for the live streams. And thank you, everybody, for dropping by and hanging out with us like you always do. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow, probably. Good night.